right. Good morning, Melbourne Church. Good morning. You know, I did a little research this week, and did you know that the average person can speak 140 words per minute? I mean, that's getting pretty fast, and believe it or not, there are a lot more people out there that are above average that can say a lot more than that in just 1 minute. Now, continuing on with stats, also found out that the average person can hear up to 450 words per minute, and we can all think at an average rate of 2,000 words per minute. And that's pretty impressive if you think about it. And if you boil it all down, it simply means that we can hear three times faster than people can speak. And I think there's a lot to be said for hearing three times more than we speak. Amen? There's great wisdom in that. In Matthew 13, verse 9, Jesus encourages his listeners to deeply hear him with these words. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, I just preached this passage no more than 2 months ago. This morning, we're going to take a completely different view of it. And sometimes we just need to listen to what the Word of God has to say. Now, I like to put some unique things into sermons and really bring them alive. But today, we're going to jump into more scripture than we normally do. And we're just going to let the words of Jesus speak to us. Now, the word hear, when we look at Matthew 13, 9, in the Greek, it means to hear, to listen, and to understand. And hearing, listening, and understanding are not the same things. They are a progression of events that are leading somewhere. And we see this a little clearer in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So a changed life, it starts by taking the words of Jesus Christ, and then it moves into a position of hearing, and then actively listening, and then digesting those words until they're understood, which means they're being applied in one's life. And Romans 10:17 says that this process, it all leads to something, and it leads to the birthing of faith within a person. And faith is not merely what you understand. It's exactly how you live. It's how you make decisions because of what you've heard and understood. So I want to put this all together before we launch in. But the parable of the sower is found in Matthew chapter 13. It's in Mark 4 and it's in Luke chapter 8. And Jesus refers to ears, hearing, and listening at a bare minimum of 32 times. Anytime you see a double emphatic statement, which is the same statement made in a repetition, it means stop and slow down. That's twice. This is 32 times. 32. There is a major emphasis to pay close attention to what this means. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" He's speaking of the parable of the sower. And in essence, Jesus is clearly stating, if you cannot get this parable, you will not understand any parable of Jesus. And as we go through the parables in 2026, I want us to see this principle because it's very critical in being able to understand anything that Jesus says in parabolic form. Now, God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've studied that recently in Hebrews chapter 1. And what that means is that our listening and our understanding of the Word of God is especially critical because Jesus preached in parables, and He did it for two key reasons. He did it to reveal truth to hearers who were receptive, but He also preached in a parable so people that were not receptive couldn't figure it out. Now you think about that one. That's huge. And we'll start with Matthew 13, verses 10 to 15. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore, notice I've got this underlined, I speak to them in parables. Why? Because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. Isaiah said it would happen. You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. But will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For, and here's the whole reason why, the heart of this people is what, church? Dull. A dull heart is one that cannot understand and put it into life application according to the words of Jesus. And this is why he spoke in parables. And I want you to see that this parable really explains why the same gospel words have different results. We continue in verse 18 to 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, or Satan, comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places. This is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it. And they receive it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word of God, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word of God and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So hearing that leads to understanding is mentioned at least 8 times in the text of Matthew 13 that we just read. And the difference, pay attention, it's not the seed. The same seed fell on all 4 hearts. The difference is in the type of soil. It's the type of heart that is attached to the ears. You see, that's the problem. And I want to start with this by number 1, looking at the sower. You're going to have to click it for me, I think. Go ahead and advance 1 slide. Hit the space bar. To the sower that we're there. So the original sower, guys, the original sower is Jesus Christ. Matthew 2:3 gives us this indication. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. So we see that it was first spoken through the Lord. Now, those who heard in this text were eyewitnesses. They looked Jesus in the eye, and his words literally went into their ears and into their hearts, or were rejected by their hearts. But they saw Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They watched him raise people from the dead. They watched him take 5 loaves and feed 5,000 people with them. They saw it happen. That's who's being spoken of in this verse. And the continuing sowers, they're servants. And they're also known as Jesus' disciples. And in our context today, that's you and me. We continue to plant the seed of God's word. That's our job. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 9 illustrates this. I planted, and this is Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. He was giving the increase. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So the sower's work is to plant. It's not to make the seed grow. What we put in the hearts of people through the word of God is not our responsibility to try to force it to make it grow. I mean, if you go force a plant to grow, what are you going to do to it? You're going to kill it, more than likely. And that's exactly what we'll do. We'll kill the word of God in someone's heart if we press too hard and force ourselves upon them where they're not open. So we have to be careful about that. We've got to know what this means. Because God's job is to cause the seed of His word to grow. And no one has any idea what a seed's going to do if it's never put in the ground. Amen? One thing's for sure. If you don't put a seed in the ground, nobody's going to eat anything at harvest because there will be nothing. So with that, there are three practical applications to sowing seed. This is not comprehensive. It's just what I found. But number one, we must sow widely. We've got to do that. We've got to chunk seed is the way one of my professors at Harding put it. He said, we take seed and we chunk it. We get it out there as much as possible. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we share the gospel words of Scripture with everybody we come into contact with, whether we actually use words or whether we just live that example in front of them. Both of those are sermons to live. Number two, we must sow patiently. Patiently. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good. But watch this. For in due time we will reap. In other words, we'll have a harvest. We're going to have fruit. We're going to have apples on that tree, tomatoes on that plant. But you got to give it some time and do not grow weary. Don't give up. Just because you don't see instant results in someone you're leading to Christ, you do not give up. Amen? That's where we patiently bear and we keep chunking seed. But number three, we've got to sow purely. Pure. It is the pure, unadulterated word of God that must be put in the hearts of men. 2 Corinthians 4:2. We are not adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of what, church? By truth. We are commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, if you look up the word adulterating in the Greek, it means to mingle the word of God with wrong notions. It means to take what's in the Word of God that you can clearly read on these pages and to alter it and to change it because you don't like it. Or somebody's taught you wrong and you refuse to believe the Word of God, but you're willing to believe them when you can clearly read it. And this has been a problem for 2,000 years. And I'll show you that right here in a second. I'm getting ahead of myself. before I go there, we need to look at number two. The second main theme is the seed. Luke 8:11 tells us the seed is the word of God, and God's seed is His word, and it's quite alive and quite powerful, according to Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is living and it's active. What I want to say before I get to that, whatever kind of seed you put in the ground is what you're going to get, isn't it? Have you ever put a tomato seed in the ground and got something else? No, because that's what the seed is. And only the pure, unadulterated seed of God's word going in the heart will produce a disciple of Jesus Christ who is called a Christian. Anything else will produce something else that's false. That's why Paul said you cannot adulterate the word of God. You've got to keep that pure. And 1 Peter 2:3 says that you've been born again, not of seed which is perishable. You weren't born again by a tomato seed. You were born again by the imperishable word of God that is living and it is enduring and it stays the same and it never changes and it is alive and it is powerful and it grows in you and it changes who you are at the spiritual level of your DNA and you will never be the same when it's in you and alive. But without an honest heart, you'll never get it. When you've got a thorny heart and a hard heart and one that does not have the capacity to hear the word of God and change your life, you'll never grow and you'll never bear fruit. You'll be stagnant. And we have to be very cautious about that. So Galatians 1, 6 through 8 shows us what happens when we substitute our own words or our own agenda for Scripture. And again, this has been happening for 2,000 years. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting our God and Father who called you by the grace of Christ for what kind of a gospel? A different gospel, which there really is not a different gospel. Only there are some who are disturbing you. People are coming and disturbing others from a true, unadulterated gospel, and they want to distort. They want to stretch the gospel of Jesus Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. When we read the plain text of this scripture, we have no right to change it in any form or fashion. It has all the authority in our lives to change us. If we take our agenda to the Bible to try to prove ourselves right, I don't care what you find in your study, you've already approached the Word of God in an adulterated way. You go unbiasedly to the Word of God and you let it read you and you shape yourself to what you find, whether you like it or not. And that's a pure and honest heart. And sometimes that's a difficult path. And God calls us to get on that path and stay on it and continue to persevere in His honest truth. So that's the premise. So the seed, which is the Word of God, church, it doesn't need to be changed. It needs to be planted. It needs to be planted. And it brings us to number three. We're going to look at the soils, because there are four types of hearers. And the first one is a roadside hearer. They're known to have a hardened heart. And what happens is the seed of God lies on top of their heart because their heart is too hard to take it in. There's no transformation. There's not even any growth. The Word of God is just blown away by the first fast wind that comes along. That's a roadside hearer. And the roadside hearer, they know what God wants, they just won't do it. That's a choice. Number two is the rocky ground hearer. This soil is about that deep, and then it's got a layer of rock underneath it. And what happens, the seed jumps up and grows quick, and it looks great, looks like it's going to go somewhere, and the next thing you know, it hits a rock, and it dies. And it does it pretty quick. That's a shallow heart. And sometimes people have shallow hearts after hearing the Word, and they fade away from Christ and His church pretty quickly. And they just shrivel up and die, although they're still alive in life. And it's not that they weren't excited. They were very excited to hear the Word of God, but they had no depth. They had no depth. And whenever a struggle or a distraction comes along in life, that shallowness of soil is exposed. And that person withers away. Number three, we're going to skip Colossians, but number three is the thorny ground hearer. This hearer is known to have a crowded heart. It's a heart that's overfilled with stuff of the world. It's worldly stuff. It's going to rust. It's going to turn back to dirt. It's going to fade away. So anytime that we take our focus off of Jesus and we place an emphasis on worldly stuff, what we do, church, is we choke out the Word of God in us, and we don't even know what we're doing half the time. We really don't. We really don't. And the Word points us to this. And that was the exact case for Martha in Luke chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Look at the innocence within her own folly in the words of Jesus. Martha was distracted with all her preparations. And she came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? I'm trying to cook you supper and everybody else, and my sister's not helping. So forcefully tell her what to do and get in her business where you don't belong." That's what she was really saying. She just didn't know it. "Then tell her to help me." But Jesus, the Lord, answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary." Only one. "Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken away." And the good part that Mary chose was to lay down the excuse that "I'm too busy." And she got down at the feet of Jesus and took in every word that He had to say. And it's not that Martha was doing anything necessarily sinful, but Jesus was tired of her excuses and said, "Stop it. There's only one thing that's necessary." So instead of working yourself silly in the name of busyness and ignoring me, get at my feet with your sister and listen. Now that's the raw gospel from Jesus Christ. I think that's quite relevant in our culture. And the practical application is found in Matthew 6:33. seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. So you seek the kingdom. You seek God's righteousness, not your own. And when you do, He's going to give you everything you need anyway. And that's how it works in the kingdom. So becoming a Christian and staying a Christian, it's about getting your priorities straight and then keeping them like that till the day you die. You know, I love that Rusty preached this not long ago, but life is, it's not about perfection. This is about a life with what I call kingdom direction. Because you're either headed more towards the kingdom of God or you're headed more towards Satan's kingdom. And if you're ignoring the words of Jesus, you're not headed towards His kingdom. And that's something to be aware of. And Jesus wants us to think about that. Number four is the good ground hearer. And this hearer is known to have an honest heart. It hears, it understands, it bears fruit, it knows how to persevere. It knows how to keep on keeping on when times get tough. Talked to somebody earlier this week. They are having a difficulty coming to church. And I tried to encourage them. I found out that they had about four different excuses, that this person, and this person. I said, well, you know, I've been attacked for 23 years as a minister more by people in the church than people outside the church. And I have never used another human being as an excuse to not come worship my God. That's on you, brother. No human is perfect. Not one. And if we use that as an excuse, it exposes our own shallow heart. It exposes our own shallowness. So I want to put that out there to consider. Because you cannot be a hearer with a good, open, honest heart and lie to yourself and everybody around you. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Good soil is a heart filled with honesty. It's one that stands on integrity and it stands firm in biblical beliefs. It bears fruit that we see in Scripture. It perseveres faithfully with Christ and His church. Because you cannot be loyal to Christ if you're not loyal to His church. They go together. They go together. We're a family. And we're a family the same on Monday and Tuesday as we are on Sunday. We're just not in the same building. But we are connected by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who Christ tells us that we are. So, in a nutshell, that's Christianity according to King Jesus. Now, there's some more, but that covers this area of Scripture pretty good. And I want to say, in closing, that just hearing is absolutely not enough. If that's all you've got is a belief and a mental assent, it's not enough. And that's not my words. That's the words of Jesus Christ. He says that your love for Him will be measured by what you do. It'll be measured by what you do. And you're not saved by what you do. But if you're not loving Him and serving Him because of your salvation, you've missed the whole purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why 75% of the three soils walk away from Jesus or they're lukewarm Christians the rest of their life. You see, that rings my bell. That gets my attention because I've got some self-examination to do to make sure I don't fall into 75% of the rest of the world. That's massive. Jesus doesn't want us to do these things because we have to. He wants us to do it because we love Him and we trust His words, and His words are the authority. And I'll say this, the goal of all hearing is one thing, church. It's one thing. It's a changed heart. It's a changed heart. James 1:22, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. People who hear the word and believe it and never put it into application, James says they're delusional. They didn't get the word of God. They only got part of it. Matthew 7, 24 and 27. This is the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. So kids in my Wednesday night class, this is how the story ends. Okay, y'all pay attention. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, And the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house and it fell. And it didn't fall gently. Great was its fall. So we advance the kingdom of God by first fixing our own hearts to be transformed by God's word. And then we continually grow over a lifetime as we become a sower of his seed. And what we really do is we learn how to share that with other people as we grow and time progresses by. So I leave you with that this morning. But church, if your heart is hard, I pray that you will let Jesus soften it. If your heart is shallow and rocky, I pray that you'll let Christ deepen your level of discipleship. And if it's thorny and crowded, I pray that you will seek the kingdom of God first. But church, if there's anyone in this room with an honest heart, the time to obey the gospel is right now. The time to repent is today. The time to let the word that is implanted in your heart that saves your soul, it's time to let that word take effect. So if there's anyone here that needs to obey the gospel, anybody here that needs to repent and draw near to God, if there's a gap between you and God and you want to close it, come talk to me right now and we'll close that up before you leave here. And I would love to walk with you in that journey if you're ready for that. So if it's prayer, if it's baptism, whatever spiritual needs you have, please come forward as we stand and sing.
This world is not my home.